Phil Gantz told me, I may have mentioned this in the past. Phil Gantz told me that he asked the Pshinim Zanon the following question. I remember it was when I was in Eretz Yisrael still. He asked the Phil Gantz, the Talmud of Pshinim Zanon, it doesn't make sense that Tu B'Shvat is the day that we celebrate the nature, the trees, the beautiful nature around us. Surely it makes sense to celebrate it when it's nice, it's when it's summer, when the beautiful, you know, the beautiful trees are, when the sun is shining, when we see the nature and its vigor, and its beauty. Well, why is it like, you know, it's like windy, like anything outside. What's the speed of the winds today?
Nine,
right. So, yeah. Even faster, there's dogs that can go even faster than that, I must say. What's that? Why do we celebrate in the deep winter, of Shvat, really the winter, the depth of the winter, that's when it often snows, raining in our countries, right? So why is it that we celebrate then Tu B'Shvat? The Tu B'Shvat is the celebration of the Ilonos, Hoshon Ilonos at that time of year. I think the question is a very good question. It's a really good question. So he said that Pshinim Zalman answers as follows. Pshinim Zalman, it's a classic Pshinim Zalman that. We know Pshinim Zalman is a Posek, but he was a tremendous Bal Machshava too. So what did Pshinim Zalman answer? Pshinim Zalman answered him, he said, yeah, because you're looking the wrong way. A Yid always looks at the roots. A Yid does look at the outcomes. What's really happening down in the earth now is the seeds that have been planted or that are in the ground, deep in the earth, they're now starting to open, they're opening, and there's like under the ground, what's happening now is really the crucial developments. What happens later, these are the later developments, that's what we're going to see, and it's going to be visible to us. But really, the real things that are happening, the real starting, the real growth, the crucial growth, the essential parts are really happening now under the ground. It's not visible to us, but that's really what the important steps are actually taking place now. So Pshinim Zalman says that's where Yid always looks at the roots of the things. Yid doesn't look at the outcomes, he looks at the roots. And that's why we're celebrating Tu B'Shvat at that time of year. I think it's an amazing world. Kach Shemati from Bisol Gan, the name of Pshinim Zalman. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right, we're up to Siman Tov Nun Hey. We learned Siv Dalet, we're up to Siv Hey now. Okay, about the Maim Shalonu. We're continuing a little bit moving on from that. We're going to be discussing the halachas of adding additional ingredients to the matzahs. So there will be later on another subject, which is matzah shira, the rich, the wealthy matzah, which will be discussed at a later stage. Here we're talking about just small ingredients such as salt. Nagin shloilitein melach b'matzah. The meaning is not to add salt in the matzah. V'nochen adoban, this is right. V'afilu b'te'evet yeshles, so the remark goes as far as that if you did add salt into the dough, but yevet, the matzah is also. Now, what's the reason? Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Mem, which about six lines from the top, explains. Nagin Shaloi. The feast, since Sheish Oimim, some say Shamelach, the salt, Mechamem Eso Iso, the salt will heat up the Iso, the dough, and through that the dough will rise quicker and will become quick chomet, more speedily chomet. That makes a lot of sense. So you do not add salt into the dough because it's going to rise quicker. Don't put salt, and therefore you're saying that
it causes
very good. So just like over there we find that salt will increase the heat, so here too. Yeah, now what happens if you want to, after baking, you want to add some salt? Anything wrong with that? It's fine. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If cut nemal, if matzah hainu kodim, if it's all before the baking, havon achrafio vadeh shori liktoif pnei matzah b'mei ha-melach. But obviously after it's been baked, you can add salt. For achsirum latano, you can even place it back into the oven. Would be fine to do that. K'moy she'osin b'chalamoit, like some b'yidin do on chalamoit, they will take baked matzahs, they will add salt, and put it back in the oven. But when it comes to the matzahs of the Shmur matzah, it's better to refrain from doing so. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, there's a question here, and I didn't have the chance today to look into it, but it's a good shaila. Okay, our waters, the waters that we have got nowadays, the tap waters that we use, is it pure water?
It's got fluoride in it.
It does, of course it does. Very much so. Now, I'm not an expert because my sense of taste is not very... But there are people out there that can taste the difference between various areas of... The truth is, if you go to Scotland, you have a cup of water in Scotland, I'm pretty sure that you'll taste the difference. I haven't experienced it myself, but I'm pretty sure that it'll be a taste of... I do know, as a child, I had cousins that lived in Basel. Basel is further north from Zurich. And over there, there's a chemical industry is very, very strong there. And I know that the water there tastes, I don't remember the history behind it, but the water there they clean the water very differently there. And the fluoride is a higher density of fluoride than in Zurich. And I remember as a child, we used to play with the cousins and we used to try to figure out, it's a bit like the Coke test. Remember the Coke test? So it's a bit like water test as well. And it did taste different because the ingredients, the amount of fluoride in there is different. So what I'm trying to say is that I don't have a doubt that the water in Wales, in Scotland, in other areas will taste different in London. And the reason being because it's not pure water. Our water is not... Right? Am I saying...
Depends where it travels to,
It depends where it travels, of course. It goes through...
It travels to limestone.
Right. Yeah, so I remember hearing, when I saw once a water reservoir up in where was it? I saw once, and then they said, I listened to the kind of, the thing, and I remember they said that, I believe they said it takes 3 days from there till it reaches the... 3 days from the water... source until it reaches the taps. So I may remember wrongly, but I think that's what it said. So what I'm saying is that the waters that we've got nowadays is not pure, and it goes through a cleansing process. Therefore, would it be right to ask, since it's not pure water, could it be that there is an element there which is like salt? We're saying, you know, when I add salt to the dough because it's going to be machmitzpah, it's going to be mechamim, therefore machmitzpah quicker. Remember, the water that we are really talking about, Maim Shelonu, is real proper water, like in the good old days, clean water. And the water that we're using nowadays is not 100% water. There is chemicals in there to clean it. So who says that, this is kosher, maybe our waters that we're using, perhaps... is a problem. Desalinate the water. Yeah.
Definitely.
But well said. Yeah. So yeah.
No water is pure water. If you buy any bottle of mineral water from any anywhere.
Bottled water. Yeah.
Will have on the back.
Yeah. It will
break down with. Nitrites and
nitrates.
And
other, yeah.
This and that and the other.
Yeah, so you're right. So perhaps the question should be asked differently. Then you're right.
That was always the case. Going back however many thousand years, there was always different rocks that the water was travelling through. You had to work very, very hard to get pure water. It came out impossible. Certainly at the time of the Gomorrah, no, the only way to get pure water is to be a certain kind of evaporation apparatus. And then collect the water.
Yeah, but there is still a difference between natural water and water that goes through a chemical kind of process. I'd assume, no?
I mean, if you want to use alpine water, then you're obviously going to risk giving everyone gastroenteritis for many months.
Probably
you're better off purely from a Sakana point of view.
From a Sakana point of view, yes. But I'm asking just in terms of the matzah. You're right, for health reasons, it would be hard for us to cope. You're right.
Still it as what? Turn it into
butter. Yeah. No, so the question is basically as to whether the added ingredients that we have in the water nowadays, if that would cause a problem in terms of the... We don't see it being an issue, but I'm just asking that.
Torah wasn't given to monotheists.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is it different than the salt?
It It's not salt.
You can't
have that.
It's not salt. And minerals?
Fluoride?
It's not so clear. It's also, but yeah, but yes, lesser.
Salt is also.
No, it's.
There's other things, man.
You're saying, fluoride is not sodium.
So you're saying that surely it's not as strong and it shouldn't be, right? Okay,
you
point taken.
You can't compare fluoride to sodium fluoride.
That it's,
they're not the same thing. That's like saying, it's like saying pain and painting are the same thing. Would you like some painting? Would you like some pain? No difference. The fact that you've got one half of something.
Right. Okay. Sivov. Losh hamatza beketzach v'shumshin v'mine tabin. These are various type of spices. Now the shumshin is the one which I find a very big kiddush. I don't have a full pshat in it. Shumshin is sesame. Right. Now we know the sesame seeds are kidneys. So I'm not quite sure what the it's a Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, the Gemara agrees. Yeah, so let's see. Losh hamatza beketzach v'shumshin v'mine tablin. These are types of spices. Ksherot is kosher. So if you make matzah dough with spices, it is kosher. Kivon sheyesh bo tamatza, as the taste of the matzah is still there, it remains. It doesn't break or. It doesn't stop the tamatz, and therefore these ingredients are acceptable. Mikomakon, nevertheless, a little bit of tavlin, lefishu chat umichamem ho'isa. But if it is pepper or a very strong spice which will take and eradicate the taste of the matzah, that will be a problem. For pilpul and afilu b'diavad also, and even any pilpul is the hot pepper. Afilu b'diavad also, v'chenim nofal bo sid is, if it's a bit of it's cement. If it's like that kind of it's talking about the liquid kind of. Yeah. If that goes in, that will ask the matzah, but you have two, even in the liquid form. So here we go. Any ingredient which take away the taste of the matzah will be a problem. Mishneh Berurah Sif Kot Memhei says, Ksheir or Kevon, Meloshen Zeh Mashma, Afilu Ein Bo Rak Zayis, Ptech Hilas Bas, V'yesh Bo Tam, Matzah Yoytze Bo. So if you've got a dough, which is made out of which includes ingredients, such as sesame or other spices, it's fine. It doesn't take away the taste of the matzah, that's fine. So he's worried about the keter pilas pas, that he has to ensure that he still have got sufficient actual matzah without that in terch keter pilas pas. Okay. Now, the Sivkot Nemvav says, you're even fine to eat those matzahs on the first two nights of Pesach. It's not considered matzah ashira. And therefore, would be also to eat those kinds of matzahs on erev Pesach too, because you can be yoitz on leila seder. So consequently, you'd be also to eat them on erev Pesach. Some say that it is only kosher on the other days, and it is prohibited to have matzahs like this on the first nights of Pesach, because it doesn't. It's not chametz, of course, but it's not. It's not good for the first two nights. Te'en bo mishum chimutz mishum. Te'en bo mishum chimutz mishum tavlin. Avoli bichlal matzah ashira ve'en bi'yotze b'dei chovu b'shnele is harishonis harishonim v'yesh la'achmet. Some said it is considered matzah ashira, and therefore it's better to avoid them on the first two nights. We don't have them on Erev Pesach, and we also don't have them. We don't have them on Leila Seder either. Truth is, have you ever seen these matzahs, sesame matzahs, rye? They're not so common. Yeah, so let me say that's probably the reason why it's not. One should try to. It's tak a good point. Whenever we say that we should, you don't have them on the first night, it's referring to the Leila Seder, the Matzah Shal Mitzvah. Yeah. Yeah, that means that really, in between the Suda, in the Suda, yeah. Okay, and now starting with Siman Tov Nun Vav, just have a bit of a start. In Losh, Shiur Kamus Lishas Amatzah, this is regarding the halachas of the amount that you are baking in terms of Shir Chala, the amount. So, Ein Losh in a Pesach Iso Gdoyle Mishir Chala. The initial halacha is that you may not need a very large amount of dough, which much larger than the Shir Chala. We know there's a obligation to be separating challah when you bake, when you make a dough of a certain shear. How much is the shear normally? How do you normally say? 1 point, we have to ask our wives. Yeah, how much? With bracha, without bracha? Normally we go for 1 point. Pardon? There's lots of different opinions, yeah. It depends on the chamor chazanish. And there's a few shittas in between as well. So I think that most of our wives will be mafash challah from about 1.2. With, 1.2 kilo of flour, and I think brochas, some are lenient, brochas 1.4 up to 1.6 approximately, yeah, and your wives will have the share. So the, if you do much bigger than that, it's not good. You may not make matzahs out of a substantially bigger amount than that. And Mishnah Berurah will explain the reason shortly, but the initial halacha is we have to realize that it's an issa that you can't make a dough of a very large dough, much bigger than the sheer challah. Just like we have an obligation to separate challah when it comes to making chometz, similarly also when it comes to matzahs, also there's an obligation to be mafkish challah when you bake matzahs, when you make matzahs. So now we're going to be learning, there's going to be a reason why you cannot bake much bigger amount than the sheer challah. You can't. And the Mishnah would explain tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what the reason behind that is. Okay, so what we learned this evening is that the halach is you may not add salt to the matzahs prior to its baking. The Rama wants to say that even b'diavad it's also. We learned that once it's baked, you can add salt, even if you put it back in the oven. We learned that if you're adding various spices, such as sesame seed, v'chadoyma, then that is kosher, because that doesn't take away the taste of the matzah. Again, a sesame seed is a bit of a chiddush, because the Rama doesn't seem to be bothered about it. And surely, sesame is kidneys. Are you also bothered about it, or you just think that, why does the Rama not seem to care?
Because maybe he's Madai previously when these things referred to.
You seem to remember from then.
Yeah,
at times we find that. It's an acceptable answer. It's an acceptable answer. Normally, he makes a point of reminding us, but sometimes he doesn't. Right, okay. So, however, if it is strong kind of spices, strong spices are prohibited. You cannot add them into the dough because it takes away the taste of matzah. Even b'diavad will be a problem. We learned that, and then we started learning Siman Tov Nun Vav, which teaches us, for a reason unknown yet, that we're not allowed to make matzahs out of dough which is much larger than the shir challah. More on this tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem. I wish you a good evening.